The announcement by the energy company AGL that it intends to close its Liddell power station in 2022 triggered panic from the federal government. Liddell is an ancient and unreliable power station. It will require major upgrades to function beyond 2022, yet the government wants to extend its working life. To examine the present and future landscape of Australia's energy market, I'm speaking to Alan Pears, Senior Industry Fellow at RMIT University. Welcome, Alan.
Oh, hi, Des.
There have been several key reports on climate and energy released over the past months. Could you give a brief summary of them?
Probably the most important one is the Finkel Inquiry, which came up with the proposal for a clean energy target and quite a few detailed changes to the way energy markets operate, which are in fact designed to deal with a lot of the problems that the government thinks it's fixing by going for coal power. As well as that, we've had a couple of reports from the Australian Energy Markets Operator, and in a way, the government has done a very good job of distorting what they say and implying that a coal-fired power station would fix the problems that the market operators identified. In fact, the market operator has said what we need is lots of flexible, dispatchable supply or demand reduction. And in fact, since that report, AEMO has made it quite clear that they recognise that baseload coal-fired power stations do not fit the requirements that are there for a reliable, affordable and environmentally appropriate energy future.
The reports specify various things, and you see Josh Frydenberg, the energy minister, seemed to have been cherry-picking various things and saying, well, we're doing that. Would you say that the federal government is being driven by something other than common-sense policy and a concern for the future?
Yeah, well, I think the reality is the federal government is trying to solve a problem that is very different from the problem that all of the energy sector is trying to solve. And you're right that the government's focus is on trying to deal with what I would call a squabble within their party room, and essentially a small number of people who either are ignorant or who have some kind of deep cultural or religious belief in the significance of coal are simply holding the rest of Australia to ransom. And it is a very good example of complete collapse of effective policy at the federal level.
I mean, obviously those people, they seem to be very vocal, but they obviously can't be in the majority. But surely someone like Malcolm Turnbull will realise that his government can't sort of represent a sort of minority view, which is also a nonsensical minority view.
But this is not how politics works. And I think the problem that Malcolm Turnbull and the Energy Minister Frydenberg have is that I think they understand very much what the energy sector are telling them and what they should be doing. But at the same time, when you only hold a one-seat majority and when those vocal extremists essentially have made it clear that they would be prepared to resign from the party or cross the floor in Parliament or essentially take any action that would undermine Malcolm Turnbull's leadership, then, you know, the Prime Minister is not in a strong position to actually pursue the public interest if he wants to keep his job.
Well, surely he must be thinking of things beyond his own job if he was a proper person, but then again, it's a politician we're talking about here.
Well, look, I think we're probably reaching a point where we're moving into supposition rather than the realities of how things are playing out. I mean, I think, you know, if we come back to the fundamental point, that one thing that the government has done a good job of is, first of all, almost bringing together the many disparate groups of people in the energy sector who often disagree with each other to a point where they are all in furious agreement that the kind of energy future they all see is pretty similar, and that all of them, apart from the Minerals Council, really don't see a role for coal or even for large baseload inflexible power stations in the emerging energy future. I mean, what we are seeing is the heads of energy companies, the former head of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, the representatives of the newly established Energy Security Board that came out of the Finkel Review, and the energy market operator, and so it goes on and on and on, that, you know, there's a clear consensus that we are moving towards a much more dispersed, diversified, flexible energy system, and an energy system where there'll be much more focus on managing demand and improving energy efficiency, as well as introducing energy storage and renewable energy. And, you know, that's where everyone's going. And in a sense, it's the economics and the technologies that are driving this, not even really climate policy.
The recent announcement by AGL that they would go away for 90 days and consider the options for Liddell Power Station really was telling the government to go away for 90 days because they'd already made up their mind what they're going to do.
Well, I think the head of AGL was trying to be polite and reasonable, and he'd been strongly encouraged by the Prime Minister to revisit the situation. And so, like a good CEO, he said, well, I'll take this back to the board and we will look at a range of options and we'll tell you where we're going to come out. But my sense of it is that we won't change what we're doing.
That's what he said on Late Line, I think.
Well, that's, you know, they're paid a lot of money to be polite.
How's the government going to respond, both internally to its coal-loving constituency in the party room and also externally, if you've got an agenda being driven by energy companies that's going in a different direction?
Well, I think that the reality will be that the government will be bogged down in internal debate about the fine print of the clean energy target and, you know, maybe, you know, ways it could subsidise coal-fired power and a whole bunch of things like that for a few months. And in the meantime, everyone else is getting on with the job of installing enough demand response, storage, renewables to manage our way through next summer. And then they're looking forward beyond that towards building enough both supply capacity and demand reduction capacity to deal with the next issue, which, let's face it, is 4 or 5 years away, the closure of Liddell. I think that AGL clearly values the site that Liddell is on, if not Liddell itself, because it's got a lot of transmission infrastructure. It's in a good location where they can install a lot of batteries and renewable energy technologies, so that they have a use for the Liddell site, which is why they won't want to really sell it to anyone else, because it's a good site. So, you know, we're all just going to get on with that. And I think that the new Energy Security Board, the head of that has already kind of talked about where they see things heading. The ARENA AEMO demand response project has attracted something like 700 megawatts of demand response capability. That's a mechanism where basically consumers are paid to stop using electricity at times that are critical. And, you know, all of these things are basically happening. So I just think all of those things will keep happening. At the same time, I think that state governments are now realising that whatever renewable energy target or clean energy target emerges from this national government, it will be a weak one. And so I think, you know, several states already have renewable energy targets. I think they will expand their activity beyond just renewable energy targets to incorporate demand response targets. And several states already have energy efficiency programs that are working in the marketplace. So I think what we'll see will be simply that state governments will just continue to crank up their action on the assumption that the Commonwealth government will not be able to come up with anything effective. I think another thing beyond that is that something that I think even state governments are probably not quite realising is that there are many, many other groups who are actively investing a lot of money in solutions. For example, a lot of industries, a lot of shopping centres and commercial businesses are installing a lot of renewable energy capacity and in some cases storage behind the meter. Likewise, we've already seen that the rooftop solar industry on households as well as commercial buildings is going gangbusters. And I think what we're seeing is that, first of all of these new technologies behind the meter are fairly cost-effective. And, of course, energy efficiency is the most cost-effective. Rooftop solar is very good and batteries are starting to get there. So these groups are all investing in things that essentially provide them an insurance policy against rising costs in the wholesale market and against potential chaos within the mainstream wholesale electricity market. So all of this is just going on, and I mean, the challenge is that you can't control it. What you have to do is monitor what is happening and fine-tune and nudge it and adjust it so that, for example, if we're not getting enough storage or we're not getting enough grid stabilisation, you provide some incentives so someone will do it. And, you know, that's basically how I see it working from now on.